July 4th is an American holiday we celebrate and enjoy with fireworks and other festivities. But on this American holiday in 1826, three things of note in American history happened to mark the date. It was the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Also, on that exact day, two of the authors of the Declaration died, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. And the third, or maybe we should call it the fourth, because it's pretty incredible that both those men died on the same day. So the fourth thing of significance on July 4th, 1826, is Stephen Foster was born. And today, Foster is to American music what Adams and Jefferson are to American politics. Stephen Foster personified American music. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about the father of American music, Stephen Foster. Stephen Foster has been called the father of American music because he has the ability to capture the spirit of the times in his songs. The first song to get this kind of popularity was Oh, Susanna, which became the unofficial anthem for the families and 49ers moving to California in the Gold Rush. And it was just written a year before the Gold Rush in 1848. Talk about having your finger on the pulse of American life.
Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with the banjo on my knee.
Stephen was a self-taught clarinetist and a pianist and a guitarist, and his brother William decided that the young Stephen would benefit from musical instruction. So William set Stephen up with a music dealer in Pittsburgh. His name was Henry Kleber, and he taught Foster composition. And they also studied the classical works of Schubert, Mozart, Weber, and Mendelssohn. And then for a while, Foster went to Jefferson College, which is now part of Washington and Jefferson, where my niece Michaela went. It's a nice college in Washington, PA, but now Jefferson was located in Canonsburg. So Foster didn't stay too long. He went back to Pittsburgh, and soon he wrote his most famous songs, Camptown Races, Old Folks at Home, My Old Kentucky Home, and Jeannie with Light Brown Hair. Stephen Foster moved around a bit between Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. He visited Kentucky, but he never lived there or in the South. He was born in Lawrenceville, which is now part of the city of Pittsburgh, and he moved back there a few times. If you go to the Allegheny Cemetery in Lawrenceville, Foster's grave is the most famous there, which is saying something because there are lots of Civil War generals and Mellons buried there, as well as Josh Gibson, the famed slugger of the Homestead Grays. If you go into the entrance building on Butler Street, they have a Xeroxed handout of directions to Stephen Foster's grave, because people make pilgrimages to the cemetery for just that purpose. So yeah, he was famous, but he didn't make a lot of money. A lot of people reprinted his music and got royalties from it more than he did. But the thing that made his music so popular was his ability to mine America's most precious musical resource, the music of Africa, through the immigrants and the American slaves. Black and white Americans were drawn to the Africanized music. Minstrel groups were at their height in the popularity in 1840. Americans were crazy for it, actually. At about the same time, wasn't it Antonin Dvorak that came to America and said that we should look to the black music to put into our music to give it an American sound? Well, Stephen Foster was already onto it. The minstrel music that Foster appropriated was already popular, So Foster wasn't the first to tap into the music of the black people, but he was the first to put his shine on it and package it in a way that sold 100,000 copies. That's more than any song had before. Oh Susanna was the first song to ever go viral in America. And soon after, Stephen Foster decided to become America's first full-time songwriter. Up until then, it wasn't even a thing. Ted Gioia referred to Foster as the con man who invented American popular music. Con man because Foster never lived in the South, and because he expertly employed rip-off tactics when writing his songs, a tactic that is the trademark of almost every successful songwriter today. He invented the tunesmith trade in America. Foster didn't have firsthand knowledge of black culture, but he was able to assimilate it into his music. Gioia says that successful American songwriters to this day do the same thing. They look to the music created by African Americans, the rhythms, the tonalities, the instruments and the sounds for the building blocks of hit songs even today. Oh Susanna is a minstrel song, or a song like the song in a minstrel show. By 1848, when these traveling shows were at their highest popularity, they were done mostly by white actors who wore blackface makeup, but some were done by African-American outfits. Minstrel shows weren't only done in blackface by white actors. The art form was real, but they were stereotyping black culture. It's just that everyone was in on it. Not woke at all. But Foster was actually trying to build up the reputation of the minstrel genre by writing words suitable to the tastes of the refined classes and avoiding trashy or offensive lyrics. You could say Foster perceived his legacy in American music. He wrote songs that would survive the test of time, and he stated that he wanted to become the best Ethiopian songwriter of all time. By that, he knew his music's appeal and success was in its African roots. His first exposure to the minstrel songs was in the warehouses he worked in Pittsburgh, sung by black laborers. And then by 1850, when the minstrel music started to wane in its popularity, Foster shifted to parlor music, meaning his music took on a more refined quality, music for the parlor. His songs often had southern or plantation qualities, even though he'd never visited the South more than one or two times. My Old Kentucky Home is now the official state song for Kentucky, and it was inspired by a trip to Bardstown, Kentucky in 1853.
Don't let her out much except at night, but I don't care, cause I'm all right. Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. Young folks roll on the floor.
After his early death at age 38, his brother Morrison took over his legacy, and he may have tried to erase some of the family history because he thought it would injure the reputation. And all we have are some family letters to indicate the state of mind of Stephen Foster in his last years. A statue of Stephen Foster was created by Giuseppe Moretti, the same sculptor that did Edward Bigelow in Schenley Park and the Panthers on the Panther Hollow Bridge. There are also some statues he did at the entrance to Highland Park and a few others in the town. The sculptor had his first home in Highland Park, and it was moved because of vandalism, and then it was moved to Forbes Avenue in front of Carnegie Library, in front of the museum. The design committee for the statue consisted of Andrew Mellon, Robert Pitcairn, the director of the Carnegie Museum, Edward Bigelow, the parks director, who also had a statue done by Moretti, and T.J. Keenan Jr., the editor of the Pittsburgh Press. And Morrison Foster, Stephen's brother, he acted as a model for the sculptor. And Moretti was intent on getting Stephen's likeness. The statue is in bronze, and the design, well, the design became quite controversial. The song Uncle Ned is the basis of the statue, and it depicts a black man playing a banjo at Foster's feet. And most people I've talked to over the years assume that the banjo player is Old Black Joe. The design was, according to sources, suggested by T.J. Keenan Jr., and Moretti seemed to like the plan. So over the years, this statue has been repeatedly called racist. And then opposition points out it's depicting a song, one of the first about anti-slavery. So which is it? In 2000, Mayor Tom Murphy appointed a task force to look into the controversy. Some people wanted a new statue. Others wanted a placard that explains the statue. And many wanted the statue to stay, but the demands for it to be removed intensified in 2017. And ultimately, the statue was removed in 2018. Dean Root, who was the head of the music department and the Center for American Music at the University of Pittsburgh, he's dedicated much of his musical research to Stephen Foster. He's an authority of the highest magnitude and the nation's foremost scholar on Stephen Foster's music. Well, Root says that the statue is misunderstood, and so is Stephen Foster. He didn't think that bringing down the statue would do as much as educating people about what Stephen Foster was really saying in his words and music. Uncle Neb was the first anti-slavery song. And then Brian O'Neill of the Post-Gazette, he wrote at least two articles about the controversy. A poll in the New Pittsburgh Courier actually found that most people never noticed the statue. One vocal opponent of the statue, Helen Bridges, made a good suggestion. Put it inside the Stephen Foster Memorial. The Stephen Foster Memorial is a performance venue across from Carnegie Music Hall, and it sits in front of the University of Pittsburgh's Cathedral of Learning. It's made out of the same stone, and it was erected and dedicated 35 years after the sculpture was dedicated in Highland Park. So the relocation of the statue in close proximity to the memorial made sense in 1944. So when the statue was removed in 2018, it was not put in the memorial. But maybe in another time, a statue of Stephen Foster will be erected. And maybe he'll have no companion. Maybe there will be a time when people will understand the intent of the song Uncle Ned. Maybe it will take a really long time. I don't think that Stephen Foster was an abolitionist. Whatever I find doesn't indicate that. But maybe I'll ask my former department head, Dean Root. I'm certain he can shed more on this. Well, I hope everybody has a good week. And don't forget to check the show notes at accelerandocast.com. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or someone you think might enjoy it. You can also subscribe to this podcast by finding the subscribe button on your Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Amazon Music. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.